I'm joined by Abdul Rahman Hussein once again from Cairo. Abdul, give us a sense of the build-up.
Well, everything is perfectly poised. Everything hangs in the balance. It could go either way up at this point. And we have thousands of protesters in Tahrir for the Muslim Brotherhood. And then equally a new development from yesterday was that pro-Shafi and anti-Muslim Brotherhood supporters congregated on the other side of town in eastern Cairo in front of the Sadat Memorial, the memorial which was done after Anwar Sadat was killed, and they also numbered in the tens of thousands. So it's quite interesting. It's the first time that anti-Tahrir protesters, if you will, I mean, they're not really all of them are like that, but I mean, just for this particular purpose, managed to gather all these numbers, and it's a perfect symbol of how polarized Egypt has become. And how there's these two kind of warring factions. And what's interesting is that revolutionaries, for the first time ever, find themselves sort of on the couch. I mean, we've always had this expression in Egypt. We call them the party of the couch, or the people who are against the revolution, who are just following events on television and getting hysterical about it, and they're worried about what's happening, and they just don't really understand what's going on. Well, now those are the revolutionaries are the ones on their couch, and they're watching the Muslim Brotherhood in Tahrir and the pro-Shafi'i supporters in Nasr City, and they're thinking, okay, things have changed somewhat.
The couch is on the other bum, as it were.
Yeah, something like that.
Was it a surprise to see these Shafi'i supporters appearing yesterday?
No, it had been announced, and usually when the pro-SCAF it's hard to categorize them exactly, because it's usually a disparate number of people who go there for different reasons, but usually they used to congregate on the other side of town, but the numbers were never that big. I mean, yesterday was different in that the numbers were almost close to the numbers you would see in Tahrir Square, and I think that has a lot to do with the anti-Muslim Brotherhood sentiment that a lot of people feel in this country. It really has mobilized a lot of people who would have normally just stayed at home to like go out and make their voices heard.
There's also on Friday there was this united front announced by the Muslim Brotherhood. Lots of well-known activists, including Wahid Ghanim, joined the Muslim Brotherhood at the press conference. What do you make of that?
Well, actually, that was very disheartening to see for me personally, because it kind of evoked the Egyptian opposition circa 2010, when Mohammed al-Baradei came to Egypt and he formed the National Coalition for Change, and it felt exactly like that, which was kind of sad that a year and a half after that, and you've toppled Hosni Mubarak, and then you're kind of coming out and you appear to be like this weakened, almost impotent opposition to a much greater force. And I think the Muslim Brotherhood have to shoulder a lot of the blame for this, because their maneuverings over the past year and a half and have included many miscalculations. And it's kind of a last throw of the dice, attempt to appease people and to show them that they're not the bogeyman that everybody thinks they are. But had they handled things differently from the onset, and been more cemented their positions with other forces from much earlier, we possibly wouldn't be in this position. We'd be somewhere else entirely.
Can we read anything into that? The announcement. Do they know something we don't?
Well, that was an initial kind of suspicion that they know that they've lost, and so they want to kind of whip up a frenzy, if you will, in reaction if the vote goes to Shafi'i. But now things the speculation is intense. It's incredible, and every hour it changes, and it's something different. And now it looks like Morsi is the one who's going to be winning, and maybe, and if that's the case, then we can read that press conference as an attempt to kind of bring people on board behind a Morsi presidency, because at the moment the Muslim Brotherhood are extremely isolated. They've burnt their bridges with practically everyone. Liberal political forces, civil and secular political forces, SCAF, and just pretty much everybody on the political scene. And so maybe they're just trying to have some sort of consensus to go along with them as they assume the reins of presidency, possibly.
Just give us your best guess as to what's going to happen in the next few hours with one scenario and another.
Okay. Well, if I'm not being cowed by my 0% success rate in predictions, I will soldier on bravely, and I will say I think it's a Morsi presidency. I think there's been numerous reports that up until the early hours of yesterday that the Muslim Brotherhood have been locked in negotiations with the army, which is something I find extremely ironic, that in an election where votes count and numbers are tallied, the result hinges on negotiations, not voting, which I find to be very interesting. And if that's the case, then I think Morsi will possibly be named the president today. And for that to happen, then they're going to give up on parliament, and they're going to give up on the constitution, and that falls under the remit of SCAF. So if Morsi
and will Shafiq supporters protest?
You know, that's a very interesting question, because Shafiq supporters have always been anti-protest. They think protests hinder the wheel of production and are a threat to stability. So I find it very interesting that Shafiq supporters are out and about protesting, and they have the revolution to thank for that, for the rights for assembly and expression.
So flip it around. What happens if Shafiq
wins? If Shafiq wins, all hell breaks loose. Honestly, it's going to be a very, very visceral and very strong reaction by the Muslim Brotherhood and by the Muslim Brotherhood supporters in Tahrir. At that point, it's very difficult to make predictions, but it's going to be big. It's going to be a very big reaction and a very negative reaction, and not just by the Muslim Brotherhood. To be honest, I mean all revolutionary forces, for them to see Shafiq assume the presidency a year and a half after you've ousted his boss is a bitter pill to swallow. And so definitely Shafiq would be a more troublesome appointment, there is no doubt.
And any more sort of talk or hints that there could be some sort of third option whereby they rerun some of the votes?
Yes, there are talks of that. It is a possibility that we do have to bear in mind. They might... don't be surprised if they come out and say that the rerun must be redone, or if they annul the elections entirely. I mean, that's the kind of the extreme scenario, but that is being mooted, that they just cancel the elections altogether, and then we have to kind of sort of start over, and we start with the constitution this time, and then following the constitution, we have parliamentary elections and then a presidential election. Something also an interesting point which needs to be mentioned, that apparently Mohammed al-Baradei met with the SCAF head Hussein Tantawi last night, and nobody's really sure why this meeting took place or what was being discussed. With the two theories that were being offered were number one, that he was being offered the premiership under a Morsi presidency. That was one scenario, and the other one is that maybe possibly they're discussing a different approach altogether, and that the elections be rendered null and void, and we start on a constitution, and maybe Baradei becomes kind of this interim head of some sort of national government.
How solid is that story?
Not very solid, to be honest, but what we do know is that they met yesterday to discuss. It's more probably the former rather than the latter. It's more probably like they offered him to be prime minister under Morsi, because the Morsi had said in the press conference that under him the prime minister will be an independent national figure with no affiliation to the Muslim Brotherhood, and everybody kind of thought, okay, that sounds like it could be the Baradei. But knowing Baradei, I don't think he would accept such a position, to be honest. And so maybe this meeting was just Albaradei telling Tantawi, you know what, you need to do the, you should have done the constitution first. You need to form a national salvation government and go from there. Would Tantawi take that under advisement or do anything about it? We'll just find out today everything.
Has Albaradei confirmed that the meeting took place?
No, Albaradei hasn't confirmed, but his a very good friend and ally of his, Hossein Issa, did, who's a professor, who's always kind of they're always kind of together. They're good friends, and so he's the one who came out and said that they met.
We don't have long to wait. 3 p.m. your time, 2 p.m. ours, is that right?
Exactly. That's the yep. That's the time.
Announcements in Egypt can slip. Will this one?
Well, I hope it doesn't slip too long because I think, I mean, fervent anticipation. This is the most hotly anticipated press conference in Egyptian history, I'd have to say. I mean, any further delay is just not good for our hearts and our minds. But yeah, today we find out once and for all, and then we can take it from there.
Okay, Abdu. Thank you very much. Thanks.
Thanks, Matt.